ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
With your permission, I'd like to continue from Srimad Bhagavatam, where I've been consecutively reading. And I'm in third canto, chapter 4. And we'll be reading texts 4 through 9. And the title of the chapter is Vidura Approaches Maitreya. If it wasn't a weekday evening, I would give you a synopsis background that would take about a half an hour, but we don't. This is a weekday evening. So I'll just kind of abruptly go to where we are. Vidura, who's been on pilgrimage since Canto 1, beginning of Canto 3, the sages, headed by Shonaka, ask Sutta, "What happened? You said back in Canto 1 that Vidura went on pilgrimage. Where did he go? What places did he see? What were his transcendental experiences in those places? And you also said he met Maitreya." Ooh, that must have been a wonderful exchange. Maitreya and Vidura. They must have had wonderful discussions. What were the topics that they discussed? So the two headliners in detail. So, the sages, Sutta starts describing Vidura's pilgrimage, and then on pilgrimage, Vidura meets Uddhava. Just after Krishna spoke Uddhava Gita, and he left. So Uddhava is in this terribly pained position of separation. He's also just spent extended time with Krishna, so he's feeling jubilation and pain of separation at the same time. And there's three chapters of Uddhava's ecstasy in the mood of separation. And then he begins describing Krishna's pastimes. Because Vidura asks, "Oh, Uddhava, tell me, how are Krishna and Balaram?" Because Uddhava's chief personality in Dwarka. He knows everything about Krishna, he intimately knows Krishna. And the other associates of Krishna in Dwarka, by name, he names them, and how is this one, how is that one, in different details. So, in the ecstasy of pain of separation, Uddhava speaks. Very eloquent, very beautiful remembrances of Krishna in great pain. And he uses this word again and again. There are different words for pain. He knows them all. And he uses them all. And then he starts describing Krishna's pastimes. From starting in chronological order, his birth pastime transferred to Gokul, childhood pastimes, killing of demons, being brought back to Vrindavan, and his youth pastimes, his pastimes with the gopis, his being taken to Mathura, from Mathura his encounters with Jarasandha and Kalyavana and then going to Dwarka and his marriage with 16, and mentioned by name the different queens and how they became his queens. Little, like cameo shots of Krishna's pastimes. Then he goes back to the Kurukshetra battle and Maharaj Parikshit being rescued by Krishna, protector of his devotee. Yudhisthira is installed on the throne, and, you know, Krishna, he presents many apparent contradictions. I mean, many. So many. Because what he's doing is he's laying the groundwork for explaining this most bewildering pastime of Krishna's departure that appears to be ordinary. Although, throughout, that's part of Uddhava's pain, that he knows very well who's Krishna, but ordinary people do not. And they think of him because they do not. They think of him in ordinary ways. And this pains him very much. So, like here's a couple of them. He, who is the Lord of all lords, by his influence only, Kurukshetra battle was fought. The victory went to the Pandavas. Maharaj Yudhisthira was installed on the throne. All by Krishna's own internal potency arrangements. Then Krishna, same, went to Dwarka, and under the rule of Ugrasena, he accepted the supremacy of Yudhisthira as the emperor. Under whom was Ugrasena? Under whom was Krishna himself? Then his life in Dwarka, which is filled with apparent contradictions. He, who is the husband of the goddess of fortune, lived with his queens, perfectly observing the rules and regulations of the duties of the householder, and fulfilled perfectly the teachings of Samkhya by knowledge and detachment. He who cannot be distanced from or detached from Rukmini, etc., acted as an attached householder and yet left his household ashram to come to the forest, to depart from the world in detachment. I mean, contradiction and contradiction and contradiction. Apparent contradiction. He who, before installing Yudhisthira, after the Kurukshetra battle, began to consider, I came to deliver the burden of the earth from the overabundance of demoniac kings, the 11 Akshohini divisions of soldiers that had been amassed by these demoniac kings are now put to rest. But my job is not done. Because on the earth, there's another huge army, the army of the Yadu dynasty, all of whom advented simply to assist me in my pastimes. They too should be relieved from this earth, but I alone can do that. So he, this is beautiful. We're getting, like, what's Krishna's thoughts without even being speaking? What's in his heart? How confidential. But because it was in his heart, it came to be, and then he describes how it came to be. And again, that's also filled with contradictions. Contradiction, apparent contradictions. one of the contradictions was the members of the Yadu dynasty who were perfected nearly, they're great devotees of the Lord. Some of them even his own direct expansions or sons of those offended Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas cursed them, both of which are not to happen, but they happen by the will of the Lord, by his internal potency. And that iron club, which was under the cloth of Samba, the son of Jambavati, who was pretending, although he was a young boy, was a pregnant woman. Please tell us if it'll be a boy or a girl. She's too shy to ask you. Because under his cloth was a big bulge and it was an iron cloth. But the Brahmanas knew, and so they cursed you foolish children, that which will take birth in the form of a club will be the destruction of the Yadu dynasty for offending the Brahmins. But there's a detail that's described in the 11th canto, same pastime as discussed there. The club was taken to Ugrasena. Ugrasena ordered that the club be eliminated. Grind the iron into powder and throw the powder into the ocean. But there was one lump left from the iron club, and the fish swallowed that lump of iron. When the fish was caught, the fish was purchased by a hunter named Jara, who when he opened the fish, he found the iron, and he used that iron to fashion the head of an arrow, which entered into Krishna's foot. And the other iron washed onto the shore was taken up by the roots of the reed growing on the shore, and it was those reeds that were used by the Yadu dynasty in their festival, in a intoxicated state, speaking harsh words, which they, all of it is out of character. They destroyed each other, all by the will of the Supreme. And the detail of the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is totally amazing. He said they understood it was the will of the Lord, and so it was expansions of themselves that went there and disappeared in such a way that the world thought, oh, the Yadu dynasty is gone in this drunken stupor. But actually it was expansions of them, and the demigods then returned to their posts. And the direct expansions of the Lord lean back in Dwarka, and they in turn followed Krishna to continue with his pastimes. While this was going on, Krishna went into the forest, leaving everyone in Dwarka in a mood of exhibiting one of his six transcendental opulences of renunciation. By the bank of the river Saraswati, that's where we are. That's the background. So this is Uddhava speaking, and the person who is hearing from Uddhava is Vidura. Both members of the royal family, both extremely elevated spiritually. Uddhava, topmost of Krishna's associates outside of Vrindavan, having just heard Krishna speak transcendental knowledge for the whole of the Uddhava Gita. And Vidura, who's been in pilgrimage for 34 years, completely detached and greatly spiritually enlivened, by providential arrangement finds Uddhava, who begins to speak this way. Text number 4. The Lord is a vanquisher of the distresses of one who is surrendered unto him. Thus, he who desired to destroy his family told me previously to go to Bhadrikashrama. So, he's narrated the whole of the Leela. He's narrated the destruction of the dynasty. Now he's going back and saying before that happened, he who was the protector of the surrendered souls, the vanquisher of the distresses of those who are surrendered unto him. So, he's speaking of himself. Because Uddhava was, there was nothing in Uddhava's life but service to Krishna. But separation would have been great distress. So, externally, or apparently, Krishna told him, either in Dwarka, Krishna told him, my pastimes have concluded. I'm going to leave this world. And after I leave this world, Kali Yuga will begin. And when Kali Yuga begins, it becomes very, very difficult, very quickly. And I don't want you to experience that. But if you go to Bhadrikashrama, there you'll find devotees of Naranarayan Rishi. And in their company, you'll be safe. Go. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur unpacks this in the following way. Compliments of Father Swami, who has adequately translated the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. You have pity on me because I can't take my library with me when you're all trying to copy. So here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's explanation of what we just read. The Lord spoke to me previously at Dwarka. He also remained there in another form, aprakat. What does that mean? Means the Lord's pastimes are eternal, and there are times when he manifests his pastimes so that everyone can see. And there's another form of the Lord that's an aprakat form. Prakat and aprakat, manifest and unmanifest. So he remained in Dwarka in an unmanifest form because it's his eternal abode. Is that Krishna is eternally present in Vrindavan, and sometimes he manifests his pastimes and sometimes not. Common, as the example that Prabhupada gives, the sun rises and the sun sets. Because this is the situation, it's like the sunset. Krishna is going to leave, the sun is going to set. But what does that mean? Well, here Prabhupada explained it in his purports explicitly, but it means the sun is going, basically it's rising on the eastern horizon and setting on the western horizon. But the sun doesn't come into existence and go out of existence. Similarly, Krishna doesn't come into or go out of existence. So when he disappears, he remains in his aprakat form. And he appears in his prakat form somewhere. The word in the verse cha is aham cha ukta bhagavata. So the Lord spoke to me, but in there is this word cha. The word cha indicates that Uddhava was sent also to the Saraswati River, where Krishna also spoke to him. So he's telling him, go to Bhadrikashram. But the indication Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is taking is he also told him, I'll meet you at the Saraswati River. The reason for the Lord speaking to him are also given. The first reason was that the Lord wanted to remove the suffering of separation of Uddhava, who was surrendered unto the Lord. Prapanarati Harena. Prapana is surrender, and Hari unto Lord Hari. Because Uddhava was surrendered unto Lord Hari, he not only wanted him to be protected by being with the devotees of Narayan Rishi and Badrikashram, but he also wanted to protect him or to pacify his feelings of separation. So he wanted to give his association in a private way on the bank of the river Saraswati. The second reason for this word cha, the indication is that the Lord would relieve the pain in the form of longing, arati, to hear about bhakti, jnan, vairagya, and the Lord's pastimes unto those living in Badrikashram who are also surrendered to the Lord, such as the Lord's portion, Naranarayan. So, by what he would speak to Uddhava would be that pacification of the devotees in Naranarayan Rishi in Badrikashram. So in other words, the Lord gave him what appears to be equivocal instruction. Go to Badrikashram, come follow me, I'm going to the river Saraswati. Like two different instructions. But the intention of the Lord is disclosed by Uddhava, by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He wanted to soothe the heart of Uddhava's feelings of separation, because he knew he would feel great pain and separation in his absence. And he also wanted to soothe that separation from the devotees in Badrikashram via the instrument of Uddhava, so that Uddhava could share with them the instructions that he wanted to impart to Uddhava Gita, and he could repeat them and would give some service to Uddhava to speak about Krishna, and thereby remembering Krishna and feel his pain of separation relieved. This is confirmed at the end of this chapter. So it gives the verse, last verse of the chapter. Uddhava is saying, or Krishna is saying, now I shall leave the vision of this world, and I see that Uddhava, the foremost of my devotees, is the only one who can direct me, be entrusted with knowledge about me. But Krishna was like Krishna speaking to Arjuna, Bhagavad Gita. Krishna spoke to Arjuna because he's his dearmost friend and the great devotee. So, similarly, or what to speak of, Uddhava, dearmost friend and great devotee, because he's qualified, I shall speak to him, and he in turn can speak to others, so that the separation, the knowledge, the bhakti, the vairagya of others, could be elevated to the topmost platform through my instrument, Uddhava. Continuing. Text number 5. So this is still Uddhava speaking. Yet, in spite of my knowing his desire, which was, he had a desire to remove the Yadu dynasty from earth. In spite of my knowledge of his desire, parentheses, to destroy the dynasty, O Vidura, I followed him because it was impossible for me to bear separation from the lotus feet of the master. So, Krishna told him, go to Badrikashram. He tried, but the separation was too much. So he went back to Dwarka. And when he went back to Dwarka, Krishna was gone. So he was mad in separation. He was looking, and found him, which was described earlier. That's going to be described again. Thus following, I saw my patron and master, Lord Sri Krishna, sitting alone and deeply thinking, taking shelter on the bank of the river Saraswati, although he is the shelter of the goddess of fortune. Again, Uddhava's, one of his expertises is pointing out the contradictions. It's a, the focus for Uddhava is, one of the focuses is, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he does things that are like an ordinary person, but he's ever mindful. He's not an ordinary person. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, inherent is that the Personality of Godhead's appearance in this world looks like something we might do. He's ever mindful. It's not like us. He who is the shelter of the goddess of fortune took shelter of the bank of the river Saraswati. He's the shelter of the entire material and spiritual cosmic manifestation. It's created by him, sustained by him. And therefore, he is the shelter of everything. So there was nothing astonishing of his taking shelter in this way of the unsheltered, who are in the renounced order of life. Uddhava goes on. The Lord's body is blackish, but is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and very, very beautiful. His eyes are always peaceful, and they are reddish like the rising morning sun. I could immediately recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his four hands, different symbolic representations, and yellow silk garments. The Lord was sitting, taking rest against a young banyan tree, with his right foot on his left thigh, and although he had left all household comforts, he looked quite cheerful in that posture. Prabhupada writes in his purport, as all those I just read, they have no purport here. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Lord's sitting posture, that is, keeping his back against the newly grown banyan tree, is also meaningful. Ashvata, the banyan tree, is so called because the tree does not die very quickly. Here's the detail from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The derivation of Ashvata is na sva tishtati. Svas means tomorrow. So Ashvata, that which has no tomorrow, is temporary. When he had his back against an Ashvata tree, it's like the vision of Vyas under the order of Narada to sit in meditation, fix your mind upon the Supreme Lord in total trance, and that which you envision should be the subject matter of your next literature. So in his vision of trance, he saw the Lord with Maya under his full control behind him. Correct? Anybody know what that verse is? Mayam tad cha apashrayam. He saw that the form of Maya, because normally we can't see the Supreme Lord, Maya's in between. Mind blocking our vision like a cloud blocks the sun. Or at nighttime, the earth is blocking vision of the sun. So Maya blocks our vision of Krishna. But when under, when Krishna puts, in this particular case, Krishna is putting his pastimes, his association with things of this world behind him. Here's what Krishna Chaturvedi says. This refers to the material world made of five elements, which is temporary. This tomorrow. What does not last until tomorrow? Ashvata. So, Maya stands behind the Lord, quote, may materialistic people not see me. That is the intention of Krishna's action of leaning against the Ashvata tree. He's departing from this world, he's leaving his pastimes that are apparently worldly behind him, so he's leaning against that which will not exist tomorrow. And specifically it said it's a young banyan tree. The young banyan tree indicates that among all universes, this universe is very small. And then, Chakka Pippalam, he had given up his household comforts. In the Shrutis, the word Pippala means material comforts. Excuse me, material happiness. So, Krishna's in this very renounced mood. And he's leaning against this young Ashvata tree, leaving behind, symbolically, leaving behind his material activity. And here's how Prabhupada writes. His legs and their energies are material ingredients, which are five in all, earth, fire, water, air, and sky. The material energies represented by the banyan tree are all products of his external potency, and are therefore kept to his back. And because this particular universe is the smallest of all, the banyan tree is therefore designated as small, or as a child. Chakta Pippalam indicates that he had now finished his pastimes in this particular small universe, and since the Lord is absolute and eternally blissful, there is no difference between his leaving or accepting something. The Lord was now prepared to leave this particular universe and go into another, just as the sun rises in one particular planet, on one particular planet, and sets on another. Similarly, simultaneously, but does not change its own situation. But Krishna is preparing to leave. And Uddhava has arrived on the scene. Understanding, that's two things. He's understanding the intention of the Lord, that he wants him to hear from him and be with him and have his pain of separation indeed. And further establish transcendental teachings for all of us, because it will be passed on by what the next arrangement is. The next arrangement is Maitreya providentially just happens to be in the same part of the forest, just, you know, titty-bopping along, and there, oh, look at, there's Uddhava and Krishna. At the same time, after traveling in many parts of the world, Maitreya, a great devotee of the Lord, and a friend and well-wisher of the great sage Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, reached that spot out of his own perfect accord. Very interesting purport. Maitreya was one of the disciples of Maharshi Parashara. So who was the father of Vyasa? Parashara. So a great devotee of Parashara and the son of Parashara naturally became very close friends. Imagine having Vyasadeva as your friend. And how elevated must have Maitreya been amongst the disciples of Parashara, a great disciple. Thus, Vyasadeva and Maitreya were friends and mutual well-wishers. By some fortunate accident, Maitreya reached the place where Lord Krishna was resting. To meet the Lord is not an ordinary incident. Maitreya was a great sage and a learned scholar-philosopher. Now notice specifically, it doesn't say a pure devotee. It's explained. Oh, but not a pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his meeting with the Lord at that time may have been due to agyata sukriti. What's agyata sukriti? What's sukriti? Who can say? Sukriti. Doesn't have to be previous life, it can be this life. Good deeds. Sukriti. And agyata, unknowing, good deed, kriti. There's sukriti and duskriti. So sukriti is good deeds. Kriti means merit, and sukriti is good merit, and duskriti is the opposite. Agyata sukriti, or some unknown devotional service. What's an example of some unknown devotional service? Sure. Or just passing by. You have Harinam. People are going to have their lunch. And they, or whatever they're doing. And they pass by. They didn't get up that morning and think, oh, I think I'd like to go to where they're having Harinam. Chanting Hare Krishna. They're going to have Bhat Yatra. So, they're going to the park to have a picnic. Look at this. What's this? They don't even know what it is. And the plate goes by and they're scratching their heads. Who are these people? And it's agyata sukriti. Etc. You know, you're doing some devotional service and you need directions how to get to place where you're going to serve Krishna. You stop and ask somebody directions, which way to my devotional service destination. And they say, oh, 3 blocks and make it right. That's a gyata sukriti. As long as you're engaged in devotional service, that's the byproduct of devotional service. Persons who may interact and do something, even just out of courtesy, common courtesy, that becomes devotional service. Or the unknowingly performed a devotional service. So, Prabhupada is saying, Maitreya was not a pure devotee. So the opportunity for someone not a pure devotee to meet the Lord may have been due to his past agyata sukriti or some unknown devotional service. Pure devotees always engage in pure devotional service, pure devotional activities, and therefore their meeting with the Lord is natural. But those who are not up to that standard, when they meet the Lord, it is due to the unforeseen fortune or accidental devotional service. But even accidental devotional service counts. Prabhupada gave a little metaphor, comparison to Harinam. He said, it's like sometimes banks give people a little box, you know, piggy bank kind of thing, and say, whatever spare change, put spare change in. Over a period of time, wow, it gets really heavy, and it has something of substance, some value, although it's just little bit, little bit, little bit. Agyata Sukriti works like that. Little bit, little bit, little bit. And after some time, there's enough unknown Sukriti, or, because it's, there are different kinds of Sukriti, but devotional merit, that at some point someone will go out of their way to engage in some devotional service. When they're asked, you know, please come to visit the temple, or please chant Hare Krishna, or please take this book, or please come to our Bhagavad Gita discussion or something, they'll consciously say yes. So how do you get persons who are unfortunate to that stage? There's little deposits in the Agyata Sukriti account. Little. And so that's one of the reasons. Our own benefit is another big reason why public Harinam is so valuable. And why Prabhupada gave stress to it. Because it was a challenge to take this world filled with ignorance and passion and have qualified persons to understand the message of Shuddha Sattva. How are you going to do that? Well, persons in general need to be purified, and the individuals who have received that message need to be further purified. So, as we say, it's a win-win. We benefit, and simultaneously others will benefit. Even if they don't know that they're benefiting. Scripturally speaking, we have some understanding there's benefit. It helps to qualify us to receive mercy and purification so that we can understand transcendental messages better. It helps slowly, slowly, unqualified persons to meet the Lord. As with my training. And then later, you know, this is how the disciplic succession works. Maitreya then heard the whole of Uddhava Gita. Then after Maitreya heard the whole of Uddhava Gita, he was a topmost devotee, Uttam Adhikari Vaishnav. He became a pure devotee. And through his association, Vidura became the same. Uttama Adhikari personality, topmost Vaishnava. It was only great soul. But through association with Uddhava and then Maitreya, he became a perfected soul. And then he was able to deliver Dhritarashtra. Not to the stage of perfection, but at least to the stage of detachment. From the abominable life that he was leading. And so on. That's how the disciplic succession works. So, it the unknowing may proceed. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur expanded on that idea regularly, or expounded on that idea regularly. His approach is a little different than Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's. In Madhurya Kandambani, the chapter 1 of Madhurya Kandambani by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he raises the question, how does bhakti begin? That's a good question. Because if you understand how bhakti begins, then you can help bhakti grow. So, he proposes a lot of different ideas. Some say this, some say the other thing, some say another thing, some say different things. And one by one he refutes those different things, and he accepts one proposal. The proposal is the Madhyama Adhikari Vaishnav being empowered by the personality of Godhead to distribute him and his devotion because they're carrying bhakti in their heart. They discriminate the who to give this to, those who are not inimical, they're selective, and they give to those who are not inimical. So those who are carriers of bhakti give unto others bhakti. That's how bhakti begins. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in a slightly different way. That is, those who are carrying bhakti, by their execution of bhakti, others unknowingly come in contact. And slowly, slowly, by accumulation of unknowing devotional service, it comes to the stage of knowing devotional service, voluntarily choosing devotional service by accumulation of unknown agyata sukriti. He expresses that at least, you know, a number of different places that I've read. Commonly, Prabhupada spoke like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's the duty of the madhyamas. By the way, that's us. There's the kanishtas and the madhyamas and the uttamas. So, practically speaking, followers of Rupa Goswami are very quickly, like, at once, brought to the beginning stage of madhyama. In the Gaudiya teaching, Gaudiya Math in particular, besides these three divisions of Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama, they have further subdivisions. The Kanishta, Kanishta, Madhyama, Kanishta, and Uttama Kanishta. Kanishta, Madhyama, the Madhyama, Madhyama, and Uttama, Madhyama, and so forth. So, you know, we may be in the Kanishta, Madhyama, like just the beginning, but we're right away. We're being engaged in activities of hearing and chanting and extending that opportunity to others. Practically speaking, you know, very early stages, that's a madhyama function. Participating in Dathiyatra festival, participating in Harinam, participating in just, you know, distributing anything, you know, putting up flyers to poor people, please come to our whatever it is. It's a madhyama activity. Distributing prasadam, a madhyama activity. Giving Krishna's mercy unto others, it's a madhyama activity. Going out of your way to do that in a focused manner. We're trained as followers of Lord Chaitanya to from Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtan, to engage in that activity. And in that way, for one who is carrying even a little bhakti in your bhakti vessel, and you just spill a little bit over on somebody else, and they get bhakti, at least, you know, a little bit. And that's how devotional service begins. If you, you know, spend some time asking everybody here, or a number of persons here, how did you begin? How did your devotional service begin? It can be something very remote. Stilson Judah, years ago, as a sociology professor, did a study on how persons who he interviewed by Krishna devotees became devotees. And the largest percentage of how, during that era, devotees became devotees was not through direct association with a devotee, but through association with someone who had association with devotees. Not a sadhaka, but someone who knew somebody. And they said, oh, there's this something going on over there, and here's this book, or here's chanting or something. And, you know, a little interest. So, back to Maitreya. Maitreya is not in this Uttama Adhikari position. So what was his eligibility? It's just by providential arrangement, just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Some special mercy. And that's the merit or the result of some unknowing Sukriti. But you know, pretty good Sukriti if you have as a dear friend Śrīla Vyāsadeva. And you're a disciple of Parashuramuni. That's not ordinary. But still, he wasn't on the platform of pure devotional service. But that's where he ended up. Okay, so there's hope for us too. Just we should be aware of the good fortune that we have to be in association with devotees, or at least those who are trying to be devotees, like ourselves, and those persons who are trying to be devotees who have had association with devotees, or those who have had association with Śrīla Prabhupāda, who certainly is a devotee. So that's our merit. And, you know, what other qualification do you want to identify? You just happen to be somewhere at the right place at the right time. And some devotees came along and said, hey, come with us. Come look at this book or contract festival or something. They'll end with this. Uddhava is setting the scene for, he doesn't, in this chapter, he doesn't go into the whole of Uddhava Gita. That comes again. It's just like first canto, chapter 13, Vidura leaves home. Canto 3, where did he go? And then he met Maitreya. First he met Uddhava, and then there was this, he's hearing from Uddhava about the Uddhava Gita. And in the 11th canto, Uddhava Gita. So the Bhagavatam is not chronological. It's mystical. And there's Vyāsadeva, the author, is not confining himself to, you know, a straight line. It's not linear in time. But it certainly is like an unfolding of a lotus. It's petal after petal after petal he's examining purposely because it's disclosing certain things or churning or enlivening attraction for Krishna and detachment from material conceptions. Because one of the biggest things that holds us back, well, one of the biggest things, is our holding on to material conceptions. You know, the chief of them is, I'm the enjoyer. Big conception. But then, he who is the enjoyer, to disclose his identity, is also part of removing the material conception of I'm the enjoyer when you show here's the real enjoyer. So here in the third canto, that's what Buddha is doing for us, especially if we hear very carefully. Like opening the curtain, we can see the deity. And Buddha is drawing the drawstrings of the deity, and we see him. He's making sure we know The deity is not ordinary. Krishna is not. Don't make this mistake. And Krishna is certified. Who's qualified? So, of course, if time will cover some more verses, Krishna will begin. He will be ascended by his internal potency, the assembly of his speaking to Uddhava, with Maitreya hearing. And shortly thereafter, Vidura inquiring for Maitreya. So we're not in this chapter going to hear Krishna speaking to Buddha, but we're going to hear what Maitreya heard by Vidura asking, Maitreya explaining. And this scene, Maitreya and Vidura exchanging, it covers, stands over the next three cantos. And covers a range of topics, and my goodness, it made Vidura self-realized, perfected soul. So maybe it will help us to be careful going to the Bhagavad. Step by step. Any comments or questions there? Yeah. Oh, then yes.
I don't know what.
The word Kanishta means the lowest stage. So there's Kanishta, the lowest stage. Majjhima Kanishta, the middle of that Kanishta stage. And Uttama, the topmost of the Kanishta stage. It's like if there were, you know, three divisions, and each had an A, B, and C. So it's 1A, 1B, 1C, 2A, 2B, 2C, 3A, 3B, 3C. Like that. Well, got it? So, Kanishta, Majjhima Kanishta, Uttama Kanishta. Kanishta Majjhima. Majjhima, Uttama Majjhima. Kanishta Uttama. Majjhima Uttama. Uttama. You know, beginning, intermediate, and advanced. And in that beginning, there's really beginning, the middle of beginning, the topmost of that, and then they go into the next category. That's all. And my point was that we may be just beginning devotional service, but the mercy of Rupa Goswami and how Lord Chaitanya has presented and how our acharya is following have presented Krishna consciousness, we're taken right away to the Madhyama position. It may be the lower level of the Madhyama position, but right away to the Madhyama position. That was my intention of doing that. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. No, I can't. I just read it in the purport and shared it with you. His thing, his expertise was his scholarship. It's not to say that's the limit of Parashara Muni or that's the limit of Vyasadeva, but that was his thing. And it certainly says something about Uddhava. But then he heard directly from Krishna. He was Vyasadeva and Parashara, but he heard directly from Uddhava and Krishna speaking. It's not to say, well, I guess you can't get pure bhakti from Parashara Muni. You know, Vyasadeva was his son and disciple. Certainly. But anyway, that's just how it worked out. There's no detail presented here in this purport. Here's all that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. Maitreya is called a close friend of Vaipayana because he was like a son to his guru, Parashara, who was Vyasadeva's father. Anyway, there's nothing here that indicates anything more than the Prabhupada wrote. Can be something like this. This isn't definitive, but you can be with somebody and taking them as a friend, not necessarily understand the transcendental position of that person who you're intimately associating with. So, while Maitreya and Vyasadeva were friends, the platform upon which Maitreya was appreciated, Vyasa might have been the scholarship platform. And there's no description about the relationship with Parashara other than he was his disciple. And how intimately he associated with Parashara, there's no information. It certainly was very confidential, hearing directly from Krishna, who was speaking to Uddhava, to relieve his pain of separation, and so many wonderful descriptions. So, one thing is known and the other thing is unknown. Something about that unknown did not bring him to the plane of pure devotion. Say, with Srila Prabhupada, the potency was there certainly to bring people to the platform of pure devotion. Someone could be a disciple, not from the platform of pure devotion. But by further progress and further association, it doesn't diminish Srila Prabhupada's position to say someone after some time with additional association. There are persons who, I'm sure you've met some, I've met some, say, you know, oh, I met Swamiji in Bombay, he stayed at our home, or I went to some program, or something, they show pictures, and they're not pure devotees. You're letting me off easy to see. Yes. No. That's not what it is. It means that His form and his pastimes are eternally present in his holy Dham. There are times when those, his form and his pastimes are visible to anyone and everyone. Even to Kamsa. Even to Shishupal. Even to inimical persons. They're visible to everyone. And there are other times when they're not. And when they're not, that's apakat. But they're still there, because they're eternal. But they're not visible. And the holy name, the comparison is, when the holy name is non-different than Krishna, it's not, the term prakat, apakat doesn't apply. If anything, manifest. And you think the holy name of Krishna is everything. Is that right? Sure. Why not? In what way is he worshipable? Not in the deity form. But through the process of Bhagavat Vidhi, through the process of hearing and chanting, that which is not manifest may become manifest. But manifest within the heart of that ecstatic bhakta. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur discusses this in Brahma Samhita, that there are two forms of the Lord's manifestation. His scheduled incarnations and his appearance within the heart of a devotee. Within the stage of the technical term is Sarasati, when that devotee becomes jubilant in heart, in pure devotion, Krishna appears. That's what's being said in the purport. That, about a pure devotee may see Krishna. Now your question is specifically aprakat. Then that aprakat form becomes manifest in his heart. Like Dhruva, within his heart, he saw that form of his Lord, of the Lord. Then the form of the Lord disappeared. And he was startled. And he opened his eyes and there was the Lord in front of him. Prakat.
Yes.
In what context? Under a tree in the by the bank of the river Saraswati. Same. They did the same two reasons. We're hearing it. He's speaking to Uddhava to pacify Uddhava's heart. He's also speaking to Uddhava so that we can hear Krishna speaking Uddhava Gita. Oh, so many things. It's not this, it's not Bhagavad Gita part two. It's a range of topics though. So many, but, you know, according to Uddhava's questions, Krishna responded.
My niece asked me.
Who?
My niece.
Your niece.
And she asked me,
I don't know. Does anybody here know? Before he was Jarahushat, the arrow Yeah, but that's not cool there. This happened in Seattle. Somebody said, oh, I read something where blah, 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 blah. And they said, where'd you hear blah, blah, blah from? He said, I can't remember. Maybe it was a comic book or something. I don't know of anything authoritative. If somebody knows something authoritative from our acharyas, we can hear it. If not, that's not. I can research and see if I can borrow something. Okay. Thank you very much, Shri Prabhupada.
Shri Prabhupada.